This is my dad, Nathan. Again, he's a United Methodist preacher. He's been doing this longer than I've been alive. Probably total hours preaching in the pulpit, the same deal, too.
Yeah.
Probably. Because you've preached to me most of my life, so that...
Yeah. If you ever had a sleepy audience, he started learning things about a month ago. I thought I might share a song with you. I heard this first about 5 years ago. Somebody put it in a hymnal, you know. I don't know how they sneak them in there after you hear them and like them. But I'm going to do it a cappella. I sing the mighty power of God that made the mountains rise, that spread the flowing seas abroad and built the lofty skies. I sing the wisdom that ordained the sun to rule the day. The moon shines full at his command and all the stars obey. I sing the goodness of the Lord that lifted the earth with food. He formed the creatures with his word and then pronounced them good. Lord, how thy wonders are displayed where'er I turn my eye. If I survey the ground I tread or gaze upon the sky, there's not a plant or flower below but makes thy glories known. And clouds arise and tempests blow by order from thy throne. While all that borrows life from thee is ever in thy care, and everywhere that man can be, thou, Lord, art present there. I like that. John showed me this church a couple months ago, and I had the same feeling then I have now. John Wesley had a little tie that he wore when he preached. It's got a little bow flopped out there. And Joanne made me one, but I kind of felt like maybe John Wesley had been here. It carries the flavor of age, but not the wear-downness of age. It's just a wonderful church, and I appreciate it. It doesn't have to be modern to be good, does it? That's the problem with John. He's all electronic. He can't tell what he's doing. There's a question that many, many people have about the Christian life. And I think I had it for a long time. That, how do you do good works? And I say it kind of as a joke, but I used to think that good works was helping a little old lady across the street whether she wanted to go or not. And of course, Boy Scouts, you got to do a good deed every day, but that would be works righteousness, wouldn't it? But what are the works that a Christian is supposed to do? Anybody can give me that one word, right? The works are not what you do. The works are what are done in you by the power of God. He changes you, as John was alluding to. He begins a process with you when you come in faith to Christ that begins to change your internal person. That if I say I love you, it's not the same as a Hollywood love. It's a love that comes out of the very core of my being, from the very core of God to your core. And it doesn't worry whether you're the best-looking person on earth or not. What it means is that God has made me to become love. He changed me. I remember telling a church, I don't know how many years ago, 10 or 11, I called with this thing. There's only two great commandments, right? Love God and love your neighbor. And I always knew I did. Well, preacher surely loves God, doesn't he? And I said to myself, in very stern terms, you don't love God. He's a pain in the neck to you. Right? You give up all that old stuff, and what do you got for it? Easy to go back to the old stuff. And I said, Lord, if there's any truth at all, teach me to love you with all my heart, soul, mind, body, and strength. And I let the prayer end right there. You know what? He began to do it. And I said, why have I waited so long? Why didn't somebody tell me that all you have to do is allow God to work in you and tell you what you need to have done and then let him do it? That's good works. And that's what it's talking about. John was going to tell me that good works is what you do to other people. Well, it may be, but the motivation for that is the good work that God has done in you. And if you don't feel good about other people, you're not going to do any good for them regardless. And when it tells us to look on all people as better than us, better than me, that's easy to do. My one friend said that he never had a conscience till he came to Christ. And one day it awoke about that much. And it kept getting bigger. And then he found himself in heartfelt repentance. He says, Lord, I didn't know I was that bad. And he says, I was worse than that. I was still bragging. I didn't know I was that bad. And finally he said, you know, it's all him. He lives for me. I live for him. And that's okay. People think I'm crazy. I'm the happiest crazy person I ever saw. Well, I understand that. Because God has done that work inside. I let him do it. And I don't mind letting him do it. Most everybody loves somebody enough to do something for them, don't they? But how is it if you love everybody that way? What happens to your world? It gets bigger and better. And you don't see all these enemies everywhere. I know you people don't have any enemies, right? You've known each other too long. But really, when the Lord expands you, you become bigger and bigger and bigger. And when you do something, people know why you do it, and you don't have to tell them. I like what that says in the scriptures. If somebody asks you why you have joy, tell them. The Lord gave me joy. How many of you have joy? Not happiness, joy. Yeah. The Lord inhabits the joy of his people, and he wants them to have joy. Well, can we ask him to give us joy? Yeah. Will he do it? Yeah. So why walk around all glum? It all comes out in the end anyway, doesn't it? How many of you have lived long enough to know that it all comes out in the end anyway? Well, I think we ought to be moving into the communion bit. In the night that Jesus was betrayed, he made a prayer. This is the New Testament that's in my blood. My body I break for you. My blood I pour out for you. In the Old Testament, you had a poured out offering. And Paul refers to this in the New Testament. A poured offering, like the wine or the cup, means that I'm giving my life for you. So that when we take the cup and receive that into ourselves, it means that whatever we have, whether it's good or bad, is being poured out for the Lord. We are his living witnesses, and his body, which is broken for us, says that in this world, he knows who we are, and he cares about us. And he's going to do for us the things that he always does. And that's the changes on the inside. Now, what do you got there, John? In tincture. I suspect you ought to pray over the cup and the bread. So you don't spill it, I'll take it.
Take this.
You're going to spill that, right?
No, I trust you with that one. Let us return thanks. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for the blood and body of Jesus Christ. We ask that you would make this elements of the bread and wine for us be the body and blood of Christ now.
Yes,
that
amen.
We would be the body and blood of Christ Jesus to the world. Flow through us by your Holy Spirit, through these gifts, unto your people, into your world, that those receiving your blessing see it come by your hand. We give you thanks and power and glory both now and forever are yours. Amen.
You don't trust me with the cup, huh?
Related to me, then.
I always say that come as you feel led. If you don't feel like making your vow with the Lord, making a covenant with Him, living in the covenant.